to another episode here at Jellyman Investing, where we'll be talking about building your foundation. That means learning how to structure and automate your account so that you don't overspend, you have a better understanding of where the money is flowing, and most importantly, slowly and steadily build your savings to the coveted 6 to 12 month target. Now, before I get on with this episode, a reminder that I have a Patreon page where you can read articles, you can download spreadsheets, you can see all the internet resources I use, you can watch tutorial videos, and even chat with me. It's free to join, so sign up today. The link is patreon.com/jellyman_investing. Also, a disclaimer that I am not a financial advisor. Please consult with a professional before making any financial decisions. On with the episode. In my younger days, I used to have a bank account where there was only one account in it. Basically, it was just one lump sum. So the money went in, money went out, and I have no idea of how much of that lump sum was really going to savings, to bills, to spending, to travel, to whatever. It just kind of went up and down, up and down. And you can kind of very clearly see it's not the best way to go about it. This, of course, is a problem and becomes very difficult to manage. Yet, this is how most people have their accounts, especially at the beginning, especially when you're young, because you don't know any better a lot of the times. And we're just doing what other people are doing, or we just don't talk about finance with other people. Nowadays, you know, 2023, 2024, people are a lot more open. You've got YouTube and all that. So people talk about finances a lot more. Now, typically this kind of structure of accounts, it leads to overspending, right? Very, very easily. And you don't really have the ability to see if your savings are growing at all, right? Because there's really not that much control. So it wasn't until I read Barefoot Investor, which I urge everyone to read if you're brand new to finance, you don't know where to start. Barefoot Investor is like the perfect book, especially if you're Australian, but a lot of the concepts do extend to if you live in other places. So it wasn't until I read Barefoot Investor that I started learning about structuring your accounts and automating them. Now, this is a massive game changer because putting your finances into autopilot means you're not using willpower. In the earlier part of this conversation, well, not conversation because I'm the only one talking, but when you have just a lump sum, you have to kind of be disciplined in, oh, well, I don't think it's supposed to get below 10,000. Oh, I think I've got, you know, there's a lot of mental energy you need to use, a lot of willpower, and it just doesn't last that long. So one of the definitions Barefoot had was, if you think of willpower like a muscle and you're lifting weights, eventually it's going to get tired. Okay, now you could be an athlete, you can be a world-class athlete, you can go for a very long time, but it will get tired. It's just the nature of it. So we don't even want to use the muscle at all. So putting it on autopilot means being able to see exactly how much goes into each account, ensuring that it's growing, and to see if you're actually on track. Because when you have multiple accounts, which a lot of, I think practically every modern bank does, it lets you see how things are divvied up and you can customize it for your own life, right? And we'll go through how to do this. So most of the apps these days with banks all have this. A lot of them have, you know, in excess of 10 accounts you can create. Now, just FYI, the way this works is usually when you sign up to a bank, you know, it's actually kind of two accounts. One is like a transaction account or a savings account, or sometimes it's just one giant account. And what they do is they create these kind of artificial buckets that just divide up underneath that. But it's really just the one account, okay? So that's kind of how it works. Now, the way you want to structure this is, say you go to your app or whatever it is, you want to designate four basic accounts to start with, right? So this is the general idea. So you want one account for everyday spending. You can call it everyday, right? Give it a funny name, something enjoyable. So everyday spending, that means stuff for buying lunch, paying for transport, that kind of thing. Then your next account is about enjoyment. So just thinking about saving money all the time is absolutely horrible. It's no fun, you know, and there's nothing worse than your friends calling up. It's like, hey, let's go eat. And you're like, oh, I'm sorry, I can't. So you want to be able to still have fun. Otherwise, you're not going to stick with this. And the key is understanding how much we can actually spend. So for example, say you go, well, every month I spend $500 to go out and enjoy myself and all that for the month. If you designate $500 to that account, you don't have to use any discipline or willpower to say, well, have I overspent or underspent? Basically, the account will tell you if there's any money in there. You know, if you're approaching the end of the month and it's down to like $10, you're like, well, look, I'm going to wait till next week until that fills up again. So it's not as difficult. Okay. So the next account is saving for short to midterm goals. I believe Barefoot called this SMILE, right? But these are things that you want to save that take a little time to save up for, but they're not huge things. It's not like buying a home deposit or anything like that. So these are things such as like a weekend trip, you know, buying a new kayak, which I just bought, buying an engagement ring, you know, those kinds of things, which are like in the thousands, okay? And the last one, which is, you know, in my opinion, the most important one out of all these accounts, and it's the one you really want to set up first and be aggressive with for a while. So note that it's temporary to do it this way. So just a little pause here in my speech. My newborn baby just started crying, so I just had to attend to her. All right, so continuing on. So assume you have funds in the first three accounts, but very little in the emergency fund, right? Because just say, you know, the way you split it up, it was like that. So you only have a few $100 in your emergency fund and a few thousand in the rest of them. Now, first, it seems it's okay until the inevitable happens. And this has happened to all of us at some point. An unexpected expense, you know, maybe it's a bill or a phone bill or a fine or, you know, something that you forgot to pay for, whatever it might be. Now, these expenses are generally large, unexpected expenses that will put a hole in your finances. Now, what that means is it's not something where it's like, oh, yeah, $20. Solved. You know, we're talking about, oh, damn, that's a big one. I'm going to feel that. Now, in order to cover the cost, you're going to have to move money from one of the other three accounts to your emergency fund. Now, this will obviously set you back, especially mentally, because you're like, oh, I spent all that time saving that money, and now I've had to go make this emergency fund payment. It's just such a bummer. And typically what happens is, you know, it's hard to get back on that horse if you do it that way. So the key here is that while things are peaceful in your life, right, nothing's going wrong, you haven't gotten an unexpected expense, this is the time to put way more emphasis, like I'm talking aggressive emphasis, into your emergency fund at the beginning. Okay, you want this to be as large as possible. Where reasonable, you know, doesn't need to be $100,000 or something. But here's a test that you can do. Think of a couple big expenses that came out of nowhere this year. So say they average $1,000 for you. I would then aim to save $2,000 in emergency fund, maybe $3,000. Okay. And once you reach that target of emergency, you don't have to keep putting more in emergency because you've solved that problem. You can tick that box. Now what happens is, say nothing happens for 6 months. Well, then the $3,000 just stays there in your emergency fund. That's no problem. But you're ready to go. And mentally, that emergency fund is designed so that if something bad happens, make the payment, move on. That's it. Make the payment, move on. That's what the emergency fund is for. Don't get hung up on, oh, damn. Like, I'll give you an example that's happened to us. We had an unexpected fine. There was a mishap on the road, not even a mishap, it was just a mistake on the road while driving, and the cops pulled us over, and the fine was just ridiculous, right? Approaching four figures. So it was a pretty big fine. And obviously, you know, you're starting your holiday off. This is like a day into the holiday. It's a bummer, right? And it can ruin your entire holiday. It can ruin your approach to finances. It can ruin your next month, right? Because you're completely bummed out of like, oh, God, I owe, you know, $700, $800, whatever, to the government or whoever it is, to the cops, because you messed up driving or something like that. Having that emergency fund means, if you think about this as your definition, no worries, I got the cash. Pay it off, move on. That's what that fund is there for. Then what you do is, in subsequent weeks or months that you get paid, start building up that fund again until you reach the emergency target. So let's say $2,000 to $3,000, you pause it, you start designating more money into the other accounts, right? So you can kind of shift and move how much it needs to be. But the key here is having that emergency fund there, because it's demoralizing to see, let's say you have a savings account that you're saving for a holiday or something like that, and to suddenly see it cut in half. It's a real bummer, right? It's a real bummer. Now, most people get a paycheck on a Monday. They spend it till Friday, and whatever little they have left, they designate to their savings. And I've never really seen this work, right? If the money is there, people spend it, whether you have $50 or $50,000, right? Part of modern banking apps is that you can create scheduled payments. So let's assume you make $4,000 a month. Having a basic understanding of your expense amounts means you can designate certain amounts to specific accounts, so you know you always have money allocated to those types of expenses. So the Japanese actually have a very similar system. They place specific amounts into labeled envelopes, or envelopes, depending where you're from, to ensure that they don't overspend. So let's say they have an envelope for food and the market, they will always go back to that envelope for the spending for that week. Now, personally, the four accounts were pretty limited to me. I instead created multiple accounts, such as like bills, like gas and electricity, insurance, mortgage, rent, pets, saving up for an engagement ring, saving up for a holiday, and more. So you really customize it for your life. And then this way, I can always see how much I'm saving towards each of those accounts. And when you go on your online app and everything, you can see your progress specifically for that goal. Okay. Now, the great thing is that, for example, you've designated $200 to your pet's account, right? Because you have dogs or something like I do. But you only happen to spend $150. So that remaining $50 that you didn't spend can stay in that account. So what you want to do is you think of these as multiple miniature savings account. So next month, another $200 will automatically go there on the first day of you getting paid. And now you have $250. Now, what I found when I did this is I had all these accounts. I was spending like normal, and then little by little, $10 here, $5 there, it starts to add up after a year. And then when I looked at my pet account, I'm like, wow, there's an extra $1,000 there. Let me move that into my holiday account, or let me move that to my savings, or let me, you know what I mean? Because don't think of it as a permission to necessarily spend. You don't need to. You have an account for spending and enjoyment. So you can take that and be like, wow, that's great progress. Let me put it towards something smart, right? Put it into my savings, something like that, and then you move on, right? So it's all these kind of little tricks. Some other banks also have features where it will automatically transfer a few dollars here and there. So it's like rounding it up. So say you make a payment of $3. If you have a roundup setting set to $5, it will transfer $2 to your savings. And it's all these micro transactions of 20 cents here, 50 cents there. And a perfect example to understand how this works is if you're a kind of person who always ends up with coins and you have a little mug at the entrance of your house, you know, you come home, you empty your pockets and all that kind of stuff, and you drop a few coins in that mug or in that glass or whatever. And then within a few months, you're like, man, this thing's getting half full. That's crazy. And that's because it's these tiny little automatic habits that really build wealth. It's not about sitting there counting your coins, sitting there transferring money. Nobody has time for that kind of stuff. Automate it. Use the power of these kinds of apps and these banking systems to build your wealth. Okay? These kinds of practices will help you deal with $2,000 a month in surplus, $5,000. $10,000, $50,000 a month. It'll help you deal with real estate. It'll really help you start to understand big levels of money, especially when you start getting to investing. You know, if you're investing like $10,000 a month, $10,000, that $10,000 over time will say become $100,000. Then it'll become $500,000. You need to mentally know how to deal with those volumes of money. What you do with $50, right, will be very similar to what you do with $50,000, right? If you have the right habits. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and I'll see you at the next one.